Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Time magazine has noted religion has become a principal theme of the presidential campaign and may be greater than in any previous election. The magazine has called attention to the role religion has played in the political life of the nation, declares this journal. Religion and government are two mighty forces that the founders of the American Republic decided must be kept separate for the sake of a free society. It was Thomas Jefferson who spoke of erecting a wall of separation between church and state. Professor Lawrence Tribe of Harvard Law School maintains that religion and politics are not separated.
When you view religion and politics as spheres of belief and action, then it seems to me manifest that neither may be ruled off limits for the other. Viewed as spheres of belief and action, religion and politics need not be separated. And far from mandating their separation, I would suggest the Constitution forbids their separation.
Well, whatever benefits may be derived from discussing church-state separation, both major candidates have made reference to it. Addressing B'nai B'rith, President Reagan touched on it.
The unique thing about America is a wall in our Constitution separating church and state. It guarantees there will never be a state religion in this land, but at the same time, it makes sure that every single American is free to choose and practice his or her religious beliefs or to choose no religion at all. Their rights shall not be questioned or violated by the state.
In Dallas, Texas, Walter Mondale was more rhetorical in his expansion of the issue, stating, "The Founding Fathers spelled it out in great detail. What they spelled out, he said, is the separation of church and state." Then he asks the question, "Now why did the framers do that?" Because they saw in Europe that every time you let the politicians interfere with religious faith, it was poison, and it destroyed its integrity and independence, and that politicians were always posturing and interfering. Mondale accused the president of encouraging an extreme fringe of fundamentalist Christian leaders to impose their faith upon the nation.
I am alarmed by the rise of what a former Republican congressman called moral McCarthyism, a determined ban is raising doubts about people's faith. They are reaching for government power to impose their own beliefs on other people, and the Reagan administration has opened its arms to them. I express my alarm both as a public servant who has loved and studied our Constitution and as a Minnesota's preacher's kid who has drawn strength from his faith.
It would appear that when evangelicals vouch for such biblical principles as being anti-abortion, they are immediately judged as breaching the separation of church and state doctrine. That some would make these issues a matter of concern, a group called Christians for Reagan featured Cheryl Pruitt, Miss America 1980, in a TV commercial in which she was critical of the position of certain candidates.
As a Christian woman, I cannot stand by silently as Walter Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro attempt to mislead American women into thinking the Mondale-Ferraro ticket is pro-family and pro-Christian.
Pruitt says she can't go along with those candidates who favor abortion, gay rights, and oppose prayer in schools. A former football great, Rosie Greer, expressed his concern, too, for issues such as Bible and prayer in public schools.
When he initiated the prayer initiative, I came here and I made myself very well known that I was in favor of allowing our kids to pray in school. And when they voted, all the people that I had supported over the years was against what I believed in. And I prayed with President Reagan, I prayed with Jack Kemp, Sojourner, Helms, and a lot of the other people. We all seem to have so much in common. There was so much caring here. And then on the pornography and on the abortion issues, I began to see that the thing that these people that I had supported all those years were not where I was at, and I was someplace else.
Some religious leaders naturally oppose involvement of religion and politics in this campaign. Here to report on this is Jan Robertson.
Howard Friedman of the American Jewish Committee was one of five religious leaders urging Republicans and Democrats not to tamper with the separation of church and state. Representatives from Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish communities at a news conference in New York urged both parties to recommit themselves to religious tolerance.
It is really not healthy, it seems to us, to raise as a point of vital contest between two candidates for the presidency of the United States something as bedrock implanted, as it were, into the American ethos as this principle.
James Dunn of the Baptist Joint Committee on Public Affairs said religious liberty in the United States is threatened.
We've seen in the last 3.5 years an unprecedented revisionism regarding the American tradition of church-state separation.
Dunn cited public school prayer, tuition tax credit for private and parochial schools, and the U.S. ambassadorship to the Vatican as recent examples of a blurred distinction between church and state. Jan Robertson, New York, Ecumedia News.
A political scoreboard is the subject of our next report. Here is Joe Harrison.
How do your candidates rate on such biblical and family issues as abortion, homosexuality, the Equal Rights Amendment, and the balanced budget? There is now a scoreboard which details how presidential and congressional candidates stand on these and 11 other issues. It also decides whether the candidates take what the authors view as the Christian stand. David Balsiger is founder of the Biblical News Service of Costa Mesa, California.
The concept behind the scoreboard is that most candidates claim a Judeo-Christian background or heritage, but when it comes to voting, they seldom vote for legislation that advocates Judeo-Christian values or principles. So the whole idea was to come up with some type of a measurement which the Judeo-Christian community could look at regarding moral family issues and determine, are these guys for or against moral family issues?
Speaking from his booth at the Republican convention, Balsiger says the survey has no numerical ratings, but estimates that on a scale of 1 to 10, President Reagan would score a 9, Vice President Bush an 8, and Walter Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro no more than a 2. Joe Harrison reporting from Dallas for Ecumedia News.
One senator denounced those whom he said use the muscle of religion towards political ends. Said this senator in a statement to the press, "I'm frankly sick and tired of the political preachers across the country telling me as a citizen that if I want to be a moral person, I must believe in A, B, C, and D. He happens to be a Republican." He asked the question, just who do they think they are? And from where do they presume to claim the right to dictate their moral beliefs to me? Well, ministers who do preach the gospel of Jesus Christ declare without equivocation, as did the Apostle Paul, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now we realize there are some religious groups that do not believe that, nor will they accept that view. Nevertheless, for anyone to believe the Bible, he must accept and believe that apart from Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Naturally, that then eliminates Buddhists, Mohammedans, Confucianists, and every other group that does not accept Jesus Christ as God's Son, Savior, and Lord. When it comes to the ABCs of morality, there are what we might call the ABCs of salvation that all who claim to be born again agree with and accept. Every believer in Jesus Christ will accept and acknowledge Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't be saved without admitting that you're a sinner. Otherwise, you might think you're good enough that your works will save you. But the Bible says, "Be by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, there you have A and B. For see, why not refer to Romans 8:9, which says, "Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved," we read. There you have your ABCs, not of morality, but of salvation. Charles Bergstrom, an officer in the Lutheran Council in the USA, says, "Even Scripture admits the morality of non-believers." Likewise, Forrest Montgomery of the National Association of Evangelicals testified, "There are some very fine atheists." Well, morality, cherished for its religious-like character, may be desirable in the political arena. That's why there are organizations such as the Moral Majority that oppose abortion, homosexuality, humanism, evolution taught in public schools, not only because they're moral issues, but they are biblical ones as well. Morality, or being moral, will not save anyone. We're saved only by accepting the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins, as well as his resurrection from the dead, now exalted in the heavens, from whence he shall come again as King of kings and Lord of lords. Naturally, our concern in this program is that you know this one as your Savior and as your Lord. Christ came not to provide a moral basis for believing. Rather, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And since all have sinned and all are lost, all need to be saved. He came to save you. What have you done about it? When it comes to separation of church and state, there are those who espouse a doctrine of neutrality. But there cannot be neutrality when it comes to Jesus Christ. In Matthew 12:30, we have our Lord saying, "He that is not with me is against me." Well, of the political candidates, most people have their minds made up. They're either for or against. We're asking you to be for Jesus Christ. Candidates are mere men. Jesus is the Son of God. God proved to the whole world that Jesus is the only Savior when he raised him from the dead. And the modern character is based upon his birth, for this is the year of our Lord, and he is coming again. The day and hour is unknown, but signs all around us would indicate the day is very near. It could be today. Those who are ready will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Are you ready to meet him, were he to come yet today? Have you repented of sin and definitely received Christ as your Savior? Are you living for him by walking in obedience to his word and a life of purity and holiness? Ah, the decision is yours to make. Why not pray this prayer? "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me yours to do your will. And keep me ready for your coming, I pray. Amen." Oh, friend, pray that prayer and mean it. And be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will ye be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will ye be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.